Okay, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this a brand new day that God has made. Only God can make a day, and he has done that. And he has ushered us by grace and mercy and power and his great love and wisdom into his brand new day. And we give glory to God, our Father, to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit, the one who has sealed us and indwells within us until the day of redemption. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. I don't think we have any new people with us this morning yet, but perhaps we do. In case we do, my name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. This class, however, is open up to anyone who has a desire to study God's word. You don't have to be a member of Salem Baptist Church. Of course, members of Salem are welcome, but anyone who has a desire to study can come. And having said that, I'm glad to see you. I hope everyone has their Bibles. This is a Bible class, and we are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. And our passage today is in Luke 12. That's the chapter we're in. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. I'm glad to see each one of you. I've been praying for you this week, this past week, and I hope you've remembered me in prayer as well. There's always much going in, more than we know, in each other's lives, so we need to keep each other in prayer. We have had some of our classmates to be in the hospitals. Some have been released, praise the Lord, but still need prayer. We all do. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we're going to continue in our study. Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name and offer unto you fresh praise on a new day. We praise you, O God. We praise you. You are the great God. You are very great, Lord, and you are worthy to be praised. And I think of Psalm 48 and the anthem. We used to sing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Praise it, praise it, praise it. We praise you, great God. We give glory to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. We praise you. And now, Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that never loses its power, just as potent today as it was when it was first shed on Calvary's cross. We thank you for the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel's. We thank you, Jesus, that you confess us to the Father, and we confess you as Christ and Lord. We pray that if there are any sins in our lives or anything that would hinder us, we ask that you would just help us, Spirit of God, to confess our sins. And we ask you, Jesus, by your blood, to cleanse us and wash us, even wash us by the regeneration of the Word of God. We just pray that your word would serve as a washing agent over us. May your word serve as an anointing agent over us. May your word serve as a sharpening agent over us. May your words clothe us this morning. And may as we look into the mirror of your word, may we behold ourselves and adjust ourselves accordingly. We pray for one another and for every need in this room, in this virtual classroom. We lift up one another. We lift up all our needs, concerns, cares, dreams, and hopes, our yesterdays, today, and tomorrow. We lift it all up before you in prayer. We thank you for the assurance that all things work together for the good, and we know it. We thank you, Lord. We know it because your word told us, and we do love you, and we are called according to your purpose. Now I pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, and help me to do this holy work of teaching your word. Be glorified through me, I pray, and be glorified through us all. In the name of Jesus, and we remember the absent part of us, those who want to be with us this morning but are not with us, and you know every reason why. We know that you are with them, and we remember them in prayer. Now carry us forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I welcome those who have joined us. I see a lot of names and a lot of pictures and a few live videos. So however you're here, I'm glad you're here. We're continuing on in Luke chapter 12, our passage this morning, verses 35 through 40. I do teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. I encourage you to keep inviting others to join the class as you have the opportunity. Someday, God knows when, the church, Salem Baptist Church, I don't know how long the virtual Sunday school class will continue, but sooner or later, it will probably come to an end. So we'll handle that when we get to that bridge. As they say, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So today we are here. We are in chapter 12 of Luke, and we have found out in this chapter, chapter 11 ended with Jesus and his disciples leaving a dinner or lunch at a Pharisee's house. And when they left that house, the Pharisee's house, the Pharisees were very upset at Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And that's how chapter 11 ended. Chapter 12 opens up with that backdrop in view. And Jesus in chapter 12 gives his disciples many instructions. We found out in chapter 12, verse 1, that he told them to beware of hypocrisy. And then he went on in verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4, and instructed them to fear God more than man. We found out in verses 6 and 7 that God cares for us. And then in verses 8 through 10, we are told to confess Jesus and keep confessing him as our Savior and Lord. We're going to need Jesus to confess us as well. Then we found out the instruction to the disciples in verses 11 and 12 is to rely on the Holy Spirit. And we see in verse 11 where he says, do not worry. We found out then in verses 13 through 15 that we are not to be covetous. That's in verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. And then Jesus gave a parable of this parable called the parable of the rich fool. He lived for today. He lived for earthly things with no thought of God and no thought of eternal things. And then we went on, and last week we were in passage Luke 12, beginning at verse 22 through verse 34, that told us, do not worry. And that was the key word in that passage, is not to be anxious, not to worry. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need, and he will take care of us. He ends that passage, Jesus ends that passage in verse 34, letting us know where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And we are told to seek first, verse 31, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And so if our goal and our objective is to seek God first, he'll take care of everything else. Today we find ourselves in verses 35 through 40. And the theme of these verses, Jesus is still giving instruction, but we'll find out, because I like to give topics and subtopics. The topic of this passage, subtopic, would be the second coming of the Lord. And we're going to see how many times the word comes, in reference to Jesus coming again, how many times that word come appears. It not only appears in verses 35 through 40, but if we go on through verse 48, all of that has to do with being ready for the second coming of Jesus. So let's start out first by reading the passage. I'll read, just follow along with me. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Instruction, verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We're going to stop right there. Now let's follow. Let's see how many times I mentioned the word come shows up many times in this passage. It is the theme talking about the second coming of the Lord. First of all, these are parables. What we're reading in this passage, and starting with verse 42, Jesus is given parables, earthly stories of a spiritual truth, or earthly illustration of some spiritual truth. So we see in verse 36, he says, be like men, and this is to us as Jesus' disciples today, who are doing what? Waiting for their master. So it's a parable. And we are the ones, us today, we are waiting for the second coming of the Lord, waiting for their master. Well, the word master there, we know Jesus is our Lord. However, this being a parable, we are talking about an earthly master. And so the master, he had gone away somewhere. He had gone to a wedding. That's what it says in verse 36. And while this master is away, it tells us in verse 36, he will return. He will come back. He will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So we have our characters here. We have the servants, and it doesn't say servants there, but it does say master. And it says, be like men. Those are the servants. Those are the disciples. And the men, the servants, are waiting for their master. He has gone to a wedding, but he will return. In other words, he's gone away. He will be back. And when he comes back, there's that word, when he comes, he will knock. Well, keep in mind, this is a parable. So in the parable, when he comes back, he'll knock. Well, we all know the master would have his own key, but since it is a parable, all right? So he comes, the master comes, he has these servants, he knocks at the door, and the servants are to be what? Ready to open to him immediately. And we want to be like these servants. So we'll see, let me go on through with the word. Let's find the word come, how many times it appears. Well, in verse 36, when he returns, when he comes, that's the first time. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes. Then we go down to verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch. All right, so there's the word come again. We go on down to verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, that's another parable there, went from the master to a thief. When the thief would come, there's the word come again. And then we go to verse 40, and verse 40 gives us instruction and a warning. And this is what the parable is all about for us. Verse 30, verse 40, therefore you. So he gave all the parable, and then he says, therefore, equivalent to us. Therefore you also, in light of the parable, you also be ready. That is the instruction be ready. All right. Be ready for what? Be ready for the coming of the Lord. And then it says right here in verse 40, be ready for the Son of Man. See, that master that was the parable in verse 36. Now Jesus lets us know in verse 40, he is talking about himself. And we are to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming again at an hour you do not expect. And so we find out in this passage, and let's keep going for a second here. When we go on down to verse 43, the same theme is continuing, talking about being ready for Jesus's return. In verse 43, it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Verse 45, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. So that one had another thought here. And then verse 46 says, the master of that servant will come. All right. So that, I think I pulled out all of the different times the word come is in this passage. So we are talking about the second coming of the Lord. But I say to us today, because the scripture says to us, just be ready. Be ready for the second coming. Be ready for the rapture. Be ready to die. Be ready to meet the Lord. That's what ultimately it's all about, whether we caught up in the rapture or not, whether it's by death, which is probably what will happen through death, or whether it's at the second coming, be ready either way to meet the Lord. And so we see in this passage, he tells us, verse 40, be ready. But then we back up and we find out how to be ready, because that's what 35, verse 35 is going to let us know, and following verses, how to be ready. Now, it is certain, you know, in this passage, there's something that we're sure of, but also there's something that we don't know. We're certain about what? We are certain, without a doubt, we as believers believe that Jesus will come again. Now, we vary on when he will come again. There are different viewpoints. There are different teachings. There are different time frames. But as believers, we all believe that Jesus will come again. That's one thing we have in common. We are sure of that. But what is it we are unsure of? Well, it's right here in the passage. We are sure and certain that he will come again. The part we don't know is when he will come again. We don't know when he's coming back. And I think that's one reason there are different viewpoints on the second coming of the Lord, because the Lord has his second coming tied up where we don't know when. We don't know exactly when he will come. We don't even know exactly when we'll die. We don't know that. God has not revealed that to us. We just do know. We are certain and sure that we will die. Probably none of us we believe in the rapture, but we're preparing for death. Probably we're preparing to die and to do whatever we need to do to prepare to die. But we know what? We're going to die. And we know what? Jesus will come again. Well, just like we know we will die, but we don't know when. Thank God we don't know when. We do know we're a day closer. You know that. We're a day closer today than we were yesterday. But we don't know exactly when. We know Jesus will return. We know also that's a day closer. But we do not know when. And so the passage is letting us know Jesus will come. We believe that. But we don't know exactly when he will come. And so therefore, since we don't know when, it behooves us what? You be ready. I be ready. We be ready. Be ready whenever he comes. You're expecting him to come. And so you have to do what? Verse 35. Number one, let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning. Well, for now, we'll just say, be prepared. Be prepared with the right garments. Be prepared and have your clothes on tight. Let them be girded about. Don't be loose in your living and don't be loose in your thinking. Just be girded. Let your loins be girded. Don't be loose in your thinking. Be girded about with truth. That's part of the whole armor of God. Let your loins be girded. I believe your loins be girded with truth. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Let me make sure. Let me turn to Ephesians 6 quickly. And if you can, turn to Ephesians 6 as well, because this isn't too important to say, I think. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And this has to do with our spiritual dress, how we're to dress spiritually. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Okay, so there it is. Having your waist girded with truth. And so Luke tells us, back to Luke chapter 12, verse 35, let your waist be girded. That means be tight in what you believe. Don't be loose in your beliefs. Keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, as we're in Sunday school, one thing we're doing, we're girding our waist. We want to become like the Lord in our thinking and in our beliefs and in our knowledge. And so be ready for the coming of the Lord has to do with having your waist girded. But then it says, and have your lamp burning. Well, whatever that means, and there's a whole parable on that in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And the foolish ones, they started out with a lamp burning, but they didn't have enough oil for the journey. And so we need to make sure our lights are lit. We need to make sure that Jesus, he is the supply of oil that we need. He is the one in the midst of the candlesticks, supplying the light, supplying the oil. Why do you need a lamp? Well, you need a lamp because there's some darkness around. We need lamps because we need light in the darkness. And so we are to be girded with truth. And we are to have light and our lamps burning. And so that's in preparation for the coming of the Lord. But then he goes on to say, and you yourselves be like men. Okay, so this is, the Lord wants us today, be like these people. Be like these servants who were doing what? They were waiting for their master. The master, he went to a wedding. He would return from the wedding. And when he comes, they didn't know when he'd be back. But they did know he's going to come back. We don't know when he'll be back, but he will be back. And when he comes back, it's not an email comes and says, you know how you give people your flight schedule. Not so much the past year or so. But you give your flight schedule and you say, well, flight so-and-so and so, A370, is going to arrive at 2:24 p.m. And you tell them exactly when your flight will arrive. There is none of that with Jesus. There is no email coming to say he'll be back on this day or the other day. There is no letter. There is no text. There is no phone call. It's simply what? Knowing he will return or we'll go to meet him. One way or the other, we'll meet Jesus face to face. Be ready. We don't know when. But we are going to be, verse 36, we're to be like the men waiting for the master. Now let's picture this parable in our mind. The master had gone away to somebody's wedding. And back in that day, the weddings were not like today. I mean, a wedding, if it goes on an hour, it's a long wedding. And if it's 2 hours, it's really long. And then all the celebration that goes with it. But back in that day, weddings could last for days and even for weeks. It was a big celebration and the ceremony. And so the master gone to the wedding. And what are the servants to be doing? Well, they are to be what? They are to be ready. So whenever the master comes back and knocks at the door. Well, we've all experienced a knock at the door. And we've all experienced a doorbell. We've experienced someone knocking. And probably most of us have experienced not really being able to immediately open the door. Whether it's you need to pick up newspapers that are scattered all around. Maybe you need to pick up some shoes that you don't want. You want to appear appropriately. And you may have to scurry about to get ready. Well, when Jesus comes, it's not going to be any time for scurrying about. We are to have those shoes picked up. We are to have those clothes picked up, the newspaper. We're supposed to live in an attitude of readiness that Jesus is coming, and I have to be ready whenever he knocks at the door. And so, you know, and we've also experienced a knock or a doorbell, and you could get right up. And you could open the door because you were ready, okay? So that's the illustration here. Master gone away to a wedding. Don't know when he'll be back, but I do know he will come again. And we want to be whenever he knocks, whether it's death knocking at our door, whether it's caught up in the rapture, whether it's the second coming, whatever, whenever the knock. And that is Jesus. You know, the children sing at our church a song, somebody's knocking and it must be Jesus. Why don't you let him come in? Well, they're talking about primarily to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. But the Lord has many knocks that he gives in Scripture, and this will be one of them. Now, verse 37 goes on to say, verse 36, 35, be ready. Be prepared. Well, verse 40 is the be ready. Verse 35 tells us how to be ready. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And then we're supposed to do what? According to verse 36, we're supposed to be waiting. The Christians are living in an attitude of waiting. We are waiting for Jesus to return. Everybody's waiting on something. That's what humanity has in common. If we could go around in this room, and the first person I see right now is Sister Janice Rogers. I see her. Then I see Betty Williams. And I go on and go up to the top, and there's Sister Ann Christian. And in the other corner is Sister Lana Smith, and then Sister Gay. And so all of us, if I were to ask you, what are you waiting on? Every one of us is waiting on something. Somebody's waiting on dinner to cook. Somebody's waiting on somebody to come home. Somebody, we all waiting for this virus to really get over with. We are a waiting people. But as Christians, and we are the only ones that are waiting for the coming of the Lord. So that's how we're supposed to be, waiting. And you know, like we said, let's use that illustration of a flight again. You know, flight A370. It's coming in. It's supposed to arrive at gate whatever at 2:24 p.m. You know that. And you're waiting for what? That time to come. Well, we don't know what time for Jesus, but we do know the flight, him himself, is coming. He's soon to come. Verse 37, blessed are those servants. Now, we want to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. But there are some qualifications for being blessed. And here's one of the qualifications. Blessed are those servants. So that lets you know there's another group. Blessed are those servants whom the master, whenever he comes, will find watching. So there's something else. We're supposed to have our waist girded. We're supposed to have our lamps burning. We're supposed to be waiting. And we're supposed to be, according to verse 37, we're also supposed to be watching. We're waiting and we're watching. And for those of us who are waiting on the Lord, and it should be all of us, some more aware of it or others, we're also watching. And we can see, if you're watching and in the Word, you can see indications, signs of His soon appearing. There are signs that time is getting closer. Time is wrapping up. The second coming of the Lord, I don't know when it is, but it's getting closer than it was, because He has given us different signs. And so we are to be waiting and we are to be watching for Jesus. Now, there are many passages. Jesus had a lot to say about His second coming. And let's look at Matthew. Let's go to Matthew for a moment. Matthew chapter 24. And there are many passages we could go to, but Jesus had a lot to say about His second coming. So let's look at, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, in its own way, is a summation of Revelation, a big portion of it. But we don't have time to compare it. But let's look at Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. You know, it was a really impressive building, this temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, let's stop there for a moment. In other words, don't build your hopes on things on this earth, because everything on this earth, regardless of how beautiful it may be, how high the walls may be, how well it may be built, everything in this earth is going to come down. And that's why Jesus could say, "You see all these things," because they were saying, the disciples in verse 1 were showing Jesus the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, "Well, they're all coming down." That's what He said. In verse 2, they're all coming down. Verse 3, "Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him." Now, when I read Mount of Olives, it made me think of Acts chapter 1. And we know the last holiday that we celebrated as Christians, we celebrated, first of all, Good Friday, the death of the Lord. Then we celebrated resurrection, his resurrection from the dead. Then 10 days after that, we know, 10 days after that, Jesus ascended. 10 days after His resurrection. And I'm hesitating because it might have been 40 days. It was either 40 or 10. Someone out there knows, and it's not coming to me right now. But either way, 10 days or 40, He ascended. I believe it was 40 days that He ascended after His resurrection. So we have celebrated His resurrection. Now we're in the next event that normally you don't hear about. It's the day of Pentecost, when Jesus comes again. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes to this earth, which was 50 days after the resurrection. And so we're coming up on that. I think it's May 23rd. Will be 50 days after Easter Sunday, after the resurrection. And the reason I thought of it was the Mount of Olives. We know from reading Acts chapter 1, that's where Jesus left this earth from. He left this earth from the Mount of Olives. That's in Acts chapter 1. The book of Zechariah lets us know when He comes again, feet will touch on the Mount of Olives. And so here in Matthew 24, verse 3, "Now as Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" And so the disciples have some questions. What's going to be the sign of your coming? Of what? His second coming. There will be signs, but we don't know the day. There will be signs. Jesus gives a whole bunch of signs of his second coming and of the end of the age. And he goes on in verse 4 to start answering that question. They have several questions. And so Jesus starts answering those questions. The sign of his second coming, the signs of the end of the age. And then he starts answering in verse 4. And he goes on, if you notice the red letter, it's quite an answer. The answer starts in verse 4, and the red letter goes on and on and on. The remainder of verse chapter 24 and all of chapter 25. All of chapter 24 and all of chapter 25 is answering those questions. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, let's look at Matthew 25, verse 13. Let's look at that first. Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch, therefore, isn't that what Luke told us? Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So that lets you know immediately. All of you have heard certain people will rise up and they'll say Jesus is going to return May 13th. 2000 and whatever. You've heard people say that through the years, that they've nailed it down. Christians, so-called. And some of them may be, you know, I can't say that. Ultimately, God knows. But they pin it down to a day Jesus is going to return. And the day has come and the day went and Jesus didn't come back. Well, we know if someone tells you this is when Jesus is returning, we know immediately that's off. You know, immediately don't believe that. Now, he may come that day, but it won't be because they said it. No man knows. That's what it says here, 25:13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day, you don't know the day, and we don't know the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So that just says we know he's coming. We don't know when. Verse 31, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes, he will come how? In his glory. And all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So he will come again. Now let's look at Mark. Let's go to Mark's gospel and see what Mark had to say. I believe I want Mark chapter 13. Yes, Mark chapter 13, Matthew, Mark. Chapter 13, verse 32. Mark 13, verse 32. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. It says, well, let me start at verse 28. There's a lot we could read. God's word is just good, and you have to stay in his word. But Matthew, Luke, Mark chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. So we as Christians, we could say, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but it says he's at the door. Because we can see signs of his coming, according to Matthew 24. We can see those signs appearing. We don't set a date, but we know because the fig tree is blossoming, different things are happening, and we know that he's near, even at the door. Verse 30, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Here's the main verse I wanted. Verse 32, Mark 13. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So there it is. No one knows when Jesus will return. And the Bible says right here, Jesus doesn't even know. That's what the Bible says. Jesus himself does not know. But Jesus is God, 100% God. Jesus, it's a mystery how he could be God and not know this. But the Bible tells us right here, Jesus said it. He said himself, no one knows the day or hour. The angels don't know. I don't even know, nor the Son, but only the Father. And you all have heard me say, there is one God. We know that, manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But there is order in the Godhead. It is God the Father who is the head. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the Son didn't send himself. It was the Father. And Jesus is the servant of the Lord. That's one of his main titles. Jesus is servant of the Lord. And Isaiah uses that quite a bit. Jesus as servant of the Lord. And so the Father as head is just like in the book of Revelation. It is the Father who is holding on to that seven seal scroll. That's the Father. He does that. And then the day comes, he'll hand that scroll to the Son. Well, here in Mark chapter 13, verse 32, of that hour, the second coming of the Lord, and of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. So Luke chapter 12 tells us, be ready. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, this first passage in Luke 12, verse 35 through 40, it is telling us, because all of this, 35 through 48, has to do with the second coming. But it's in two parts. First of all, there's 35 through 40, and that has to do with be prepared, be watching, be waiting, be prepared, be ready. Whereas the second part, beginning at verse 41 through 48, is telling us to be working and be serving. And so when you look at verse 37, it says, blessed are those servants, that's us, whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. That's what we're supposed to be doing, watching. But when you skip down to verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So we're to be waiting for the Lord. We're to be watching for the Lord. We're to be prepared. That's verse 35 through 40. But you just don't sit there and do nothing. We just don't sit there and say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Yeah, we waiting on the Lord. But while we're waiting on the Lord, we got work to do. We've got something that we are to be doing. Everyone out here in class has an assignment from the Lord. And it's up to us to find out what it is. They differ. The assignments differ. And I can't tell you what your assignment is. Only God can tell you that. But whatever it is to do, you're to do, be doing it. And do the best wherever you are and just pray, Lord, lead me. If I'm not doing my full purpose, lead me into my purpose. And if you pray that with a sincere heart, he'll lead you into your purpose. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret. You just say, Lord, I don't know my gifts. I don't know my purpose, but I ask you to lead me. I want to know. And then trust him to lead you. But all of us are to be doing. And we'll talk about that next week from verse, Lord willing, verses 41 through 48. But in the meantime, now let's think of that waiting again. Be prepared. Be dressed. Got to have on the right clothes. Got to have your lamp because we're walking around in this world of darkness. And you have to be waiting and you have to be watching. Well, I like the illustration of someone waiting on a bus, because I've waited on a bus in my life. I haven't had to do that in quite a few years. And probably most of you have waited at the bus stop sometime at some time in your life. Well, you wait at the bus stop. First of all, there is a bus stop. That's where the bus is supposed to stop. And if you're not at the bus stop, the bus will pass you by. All right? That's how it's supposed to work. The bus will pass you by. You got to be at the right place. Well, the right place for us will be what? In Jesus. We are in Christ. He is our stopping place. We're not looking and trying to work our way to heaven. It is complete. Jesus completed our work of salvation. But now we're waiting for him. And this is just the illustration. You know, it doesn't fit perfectly, but it's a little illustration of the bus stop. And usually at a bus stop, not all of them, but some of them, there's a bench. But not all of them. Some of them you got to stand. And some of them you can sit. But usually a bus stop, I have a sign on it. There's a sign. And it is what? It's the indicator that this is the bus stop. This right here. The sign. And it'll tell you bus number, route number 2. That's the one I used to catch years ago and going to leaving Benson High School. Route number 2. And then I transferred number 4 and transferred to a number 2. And you all know about some of those route numbers, and they're still around. Well, there was a sign, and it would have a number on it. And usually they have an image of a bus on it and a number. All right. And then what? You're waiting on the bus. And you're waiting at the stop. And why are you waiting? Because somebody told me that there's a sign here that says this is the bus stop. And I believe it. That's what we did. We had faith in that sign. And we had faith that MAT, MAT, it used to be, now I think it's Metro or Orbit, they said that they would be here. And usually the bus company will give you a schedule. They'll give you a schedule. And now see, that's not, Jesus doesn't give us a schedule. He does on one hand when he says, when you see these things, know that it's near. He gives us different indicators, but he doesn't tell us the day. He doesn't tell us the hour. So we're on our imaginary bus stop doing what? We are waiting. And you might have a magazine you might be reading or a newspaper, or you just might be sitting there watching the cars go by. But whatever, however you're waiting, you are watching. Because if you're reading that magazine, you'll do what? You'll lift up your head and you'll look. Because you're looking for what? That bus to come around the corner. That bus to come downhill. And so that's an illustrating of waiting. We are waiting for that bus. We are waiting for Jesus to come again. But we're also watching. And while we're waiting and watching, here's where my illustration falls. The illustration falls short because we're also to be doing. We're also to be working, and we're also to be serving. And so Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 40, the instruction is have your waist girded, have your lamps burning, be like men that are waiting for the master. We know Jesus will return. And we want to be ready whenever he knocks. We want to be ready to open immediately. And so that tells you what? When is the time to get ready? The time to get ready is now. Us in class today, it's part of getting ready. We're getting what? Our loins girded about. We're tying in loose things. You know, where the robe might be flowing. It ain't supposed to be flowing. It's supposed to be girded with that belt of truth. It's supposed to be tight there. And we're getting oil in our lamps through our study, through our learning. We're receiving more oil in our lamps so we can be doing. And so the illustration goes on. Let me go on because time is moving. And so we want to be blessed. We want to be blessed. And here's how to be blessed. When the Lord comes, he'll find us watching. Well, we're getting ready. All of us are right now in class. But the closer you live to the Lord, and I want to be closer. I'm not as close to the Lord as I should be. Lord, draw me near. That's another old song. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, where there's room for me to get near to the Lord. There's another song. You all have heard it. Jesus, keep me near the cross. All of us could get nearer to Jesus. Well, this is the time to get closer. This is the time to get near. This is the time to get ready, because we know he's going to knock one day. Death is going to knock one day, and it's going to be too late then to get ready. So do all you know to do for the Lord right now. It's sooner than you think. Whenever it is for us to meet the Lord, it's sooner than we think. Verse 37, blessed are those servants when the master, whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he, the master, he will gird himself and have them, the servants, sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. That's a reversal of the roles. We are the servants. Jesus is the master. But he's going to be so pleased when he finds some of his children, his disciples, really waiting on him, doing what he says. He'll be so pleased. Verse 37 says, assuredly. You know, Jesus didn't have to say verily, verily. He didn't have to say truly, truly, or assuredly, but he did. And he'll be so pleased that he says, I say to you, he, the master, Jesus, will gird himself and have them, his servants, to sit down to eat. And Jesus will come, the master himself will come and serve them. And you can remember, if you remember, there's an illustration of this. The night before Jesus was crucified, he girded himself with a towel, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And then we can also remember, if you recall, normally when we have communion, the pastor, the preacher, whoever's administering the communion, will say, Jesus told us to eat, drink. But he also said, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in heaven. And so we don't know how that's going to work out, but we do know God will be so pleased. We have 3 minutes. Jesus will be so pleased that the time will come where he himself, Almighty God, the master, we are his servants, but he will have us to sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. What a beautiful Savior we have. What a beautiful King. King Jesus humbling himself, even going to humble himself after we're saved and in glory, where he will come and serve us. Verse 38, and if he, the master, if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch, and you all need to look up what them watches mean. Those are those different shifts. I worked the first shift, the second shift, the midnight shift. Well, it tells us Jesus may come in the second watch or he may come in the third watch. I don't know when he's going to come. But whenever he comes and he finds them, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. That's another parable. Because we all know a thief doesn't tell you, I'm going to break into your house on such and such a day. A thief comes what? By surprise. A thief comes unexpectedly. And the scripture lets us know Jesus will come as a thief in the night. But to those who are in the light, it will not take us by surprise. I have to read verse 40 and then we have to pray and go. So here he said all of those verses to say. He said all of 35, 36, 37, 38, and 39. He said all of that to sum it up. Therefore, you, Velma, Betty, Marcia, Lucas, all of us, be therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's even after seeing all the signs, he's still coming at an hour we do not expect. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We praise you that there are some things as believers we know. And one thing is we know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that it is his blood that has paid in full the sacrifice for sin. We know he came one time and he will be back the second time. We ask you, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us to get ready and then help us to be ready that whenever Jesus may come or the knock at the door may come, may we be able to open immediately and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Be with us, keep us in your care till we meet again. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. God bless
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Y'all all have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you. Whoever
have a
that was.
Week, everybody.
Thank you. I think that was Sonia. I see Sister Cartha waving.
Thank you.
And John Newbold, I saw your hand. God bless you.
Bless you, Beth. Excellent
bless
job.
You.
Excellent.
Glad to have Captain Murphy with us and Jonice and everyone. Yeah. Love you all. Pray for me.
We will.
I hope to see you Revelation people tomorrow for our last class.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, it's nice to see everybody's faces that I can.
And nice to read the names of those we can't see.
Yes.
Have a blessed
week. Have a great day, Sister Belva.
God be with you.
God be with
God
you.
You.
Bye-bye, everybody there.
Till we meet again. Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.